devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sai Padalashi Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharani. Nirvasesis Nirani Pasitari Sitarani. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sri Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vikam Sam Sajivam Sadvoitam Sadvadutam Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Chal Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's October 10th, 2009 in Zagreb, Croatia. I'm reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, The Characteristics of Rishabhdev, Text 15. It's a prose verse, so we're not going to repeat it. Yat yach jirshan yacharitam tat tad anuvartate lokaha. Tat tat yat yat sorry. Yat yat. Whatever.
Whatever.
Jirsanya.
By the
leading
personalities.
Acharitam. Performed. Tat tat. That. Anuvartate. Follow. Lokaha. The people in general. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. Purport. A similar verse is also found in Bhagavad Gita
3:21.
I'll just read the whole purport and then you can read the whole purport. Is that all right? It is essential for human society to have a section of men perfectly trained as qualified brahmanas according to the instructions of Vedic knowledge. Those below the brahminical qualification, administrators, merchants, and workers, should take instructions from those ideal people who are considered to be intellectuals. In this way, everyone can be elevated to the highest transcendental position and be freed from material attachment. The material world is described by Lord Krishna himself as Dukhalayam Ashashvatam, a temporary place of misery. No one can stay here, even if he makes a compromise with misery. One has to give up this body and accept another, which may not even be a human body. As soon as one gets a material body, he becomes Dehabrit, or Dehi. In other words, he is subjected to all the material conditions. The leaders of society must be so ideal that by following them, one can be relieved from the clutches of material existence.
Bitno je da u ljudskom društvu postoji grupa ljudi savršeno obrazovanih za sposobne brahmane u skladu sa uputima vedskog znanja. Oni čije se odlike niže od brahmana, upravnici, trgovci i radnici, trebaju prihvatiti pouke idealnih ljudi koji se smatraju intelektualcima. Na taj način, svi mogu biti uzvišeni na najviši transcendentalni položaj i oslobođeni materijalnih vezanosti. Sam gospodin Krišna opisuje materijalni svijet kao Dukhalayam Ashashvatam, privremeno mjesto bijede. Nitko ne može ostati ovdje, čak i ako učini kompromis sa bijedom. Mora napustiti ovo tijelo i prihvatiti drugo koje čak ne mora biti ljudsko. Čim netko dobije materijalno tijelo, postaje Dehabrit ili Dehi. Drugim riječima, popada pod utjecaj svih materijalnih okolnosti. Također, društvo mora biti tako idealni da sljedeći ih osobno može biti oslobođeno kanđi materijalnog posla.
Yad yach charisanya charitam tat tad anuvartate lokaha. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow.
Što god učini veliki čovjek, obični ljudi slijede.
First, we're just going to ask you if you can remember that verse from yesterday.
Prvo ću vas pitati da li se sjećate stiha od jučer.
Who can remember? Nate. Swartha, yes, but one word. Nate vidu. Swartha. Gatim. I Vishnu. What does it mean? Na means?
No.
Te? Vidu? To know? Swartha? Swartha? What swa mean? His goal. Gatim?
Destination.
He? Certainly. Vishnu? Say again, everybody? Na? Te? Vidu? Swartha? Gatim? He? Vishnu? And who said that verse? Prahlada. Okay, good. Now we'll go on to today's verse. So this verse is answering the question as to why Maharaj Rishabhdev is engaging in the practices of Varnashram. Because as we were saying yesterday, Varnashram is for conditioned souls. And Rishabhdev is certainly not a conditioned soul. He's an incarnation of Krishna. And the answer is given here because people will follow the example of the great personalities. And Prabhupada says here, if you follow the examples of the great personalities, you'll become free from material entanglement. You'll achieve success. And he says, if you stay in material consciousness, you can never be successful. There's no question of real success in materialistic consciousness. Therefore, there have to be leaders who show people the path to genuine success. Who here would like to be successful in their life? You want to be a failure. And you're not sure. Does anybody want to be a failure? No. Okay. So we all want to be successful, and therefore we try to see what people have become successful. And we follow their example. And everybody does this. We look around for examples of success. And we try to copy them or learn from them. This is a natural tendency. Even the animals do it. They're looking for which animal has found the food. And then they all go there. So, of course, first you have to define what is success. Then you have to figure out what are the symptoms of someone who has success. And then you can follow them. So what is success? So what do most people in this world think is success? Money.
Six opulences.
Each of the six opulences, yes.
More children.
More children. Children means followers. And followers is part of fame. So people want to have a big family. Of course, nowadays, people want to have small families. Because they're so selfish. And they don't want to share their money with their children. They don't want to compromise their freedom. Like we were talking about yesterday, mixing ashrams. People want to have all the pleasures of being single and all the pleasures of being married at the same time. And they don't want to do the sacrifice for either one. They don't want to do the sacrifice for being single and they don't want to do the sacrifice for being married. If you try to get pleasure without sacrifice, that's called stealing. And then you're always in anxiety and you cannot be happy at all. As we were talking yesterday, the pleasures of each ashram have a corresponding sacrifice. But anyway, that's yesterday's topic. So yes, people are looking for the six opulences. They're also looking for eternity, knowledge, and bliss. How can I live a long, healthy, youthful life? Full of energy. How can I have great happiness? And how can I have understanding and discrimination and knowledge? People are also looking for strength or power. And people are also even looking for detachment and freedom. Now, all of these things, are they ultimately material or spiritual? In the ultimate issue, are these material or spiritual things?
Spiritual.
And the fact that we want these things is evidence that we are not material. Because you can't really find them materially. Materially, they are illusory and temporary. Just like beauty. Material beauty is an illusion. Take all the parts of that. Very nice hair. Make a pile of very nice hair. And then you make another pile of beautiful eyeballs. Now we'll make a pile of some very soft, smooth skin. Is it beautiful? It's disgusting. All of the things that we think are beauty, they're illusion. Somehow they've been arranged so that we think, oh, that's beautiful. But if we think about what it is, it's not beautiful at all. Of course, the illusion is so strong.
Right?
It's not that all doctors are saints. They're regularly cutting up bodies. But it's not that by doing that they get some realization. While the doctors and nurses are cutting up the body, they're flirting in the operation room. And they're not able to see the truth that's right in front of them. And even if you think, as Prabhupada says here, I will compromise with misery. I'll say, it's not real beauty, but I'll take it anyway. You don't get to keep it. No matter how beautiful you are, you get old. Old people are not beautiful. They never put a 90-year-old woman on the cover of these magazines. And if she has plastic surgery, she looks even worse. So it doesn't last. Right? And even when you're young, just one bad car accident and all your beauty is gone. So dukkhalayam ashasvatam. The thing is actually miserable, and even if you want the misery, you can't keep it. Or let's take money. Our wealth in this world is not real wealth. What do we count wealth as? Some dirt. Some bricks. And it's also a source of anxiety. How can I make more money? How can I keep my money? If we interpret wealth as money, then we're always in anxiety. Lakshmi in this world is called chanchala, flickering. Let's say you have land and a house, and then there's a war, and the enemy comes and takes your house. Even the government can take, even your government can take your house. They can say, sorry, we want to build a highway here. Or there can be problems in the market and nobody wants to buy your house. Or there can be an earthquake and your house is destroyed. And the insurance company says, sorry, earthquake wasn't in the policy. So this kind of wealth is not stable. And if one is thinking, this wealth is my security, one will always be in anxiety. So this is not success. These opulences, as interpreted materially, are not success. First of all, they are not what they appear to be. And second of all, they are temporary. Even if you say, I'll be satisfied with the illusion. I'll be satisfied with the eyeballs. You can't keep them. So what is actual success? Is it wrong to want success? It's part of our nature. We are just looking for our real home, for our real environment. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, you take a fish out of water. It's trying to get back in the water. It can't find the proper facility on the land. So we are looking to really get back to our original situation. There we have real wealth and real beauty. Real knowledge, real strength. Real freedom. Real fame. And we get to have those things forever. They are real and they last. As Krishna says in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, those things that are illusory, they don't last, and the real things, they last. So that is one way to understand success. Success is to become again who I am. To become my real self. To regain my real opulences. Yad bhava bhavita diyo manu jastataiva sam prapya rupa mahimas anayana bhusha suktayam eva nigama pratitaistu vanti govinda maliputusham tam maham bhajami. One will get his real house, his real chairs, his real form, his real jewels, his real everything. And you don't have to work for them. And you never lose them. That is success. Now, after we have defined success, and we could give more definitions of success. This is not the only way to define success. Then we want to see, has anybody achieved it? So materialists think that real success is not possible. They think this world is all there is. And I will ask a question. If real success is not possible, why do we all want it? Everybody. No one says, yes, I want my pleasures to end. I want to become ugly. I want to become poor. I want to be in pain. Nobody says these things. So why are we wanting something that doesn't exist here? Where do those desires come from? If I'm just a machine, and if this world is the only reality, why do we all have these strange desires? Just like this piece of wood. It doesn't have any desires like that. Right? It's satisfied being a piece of wood. If I'm also just a material thing, I would also not have these desires. Now, if there is a real place where one can find success, somebody must be finding it. Right? And I must have even experienced it at some time. That is the reason I'm wanting it now. I can remember that experience. Now, how do we tell who has achieved success? I have to follow the right person. So Arjuna also asks this question. In what part of the Bhagavad Gita does Arjuna ask this question? Second chapter. Another place. What are the symptoms of one who's transcended the modes of material nature, and how does he transcend the modes of material nature? Fourteen. Very good. So in the second chapter and the 14th chapter, Krishna's giving the symptoms of someone who's achieved success. And where else in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna give those symptoms? He gives a list. These are the symptoms of somebody who's achieved success. Thirteenth, he's giving the process of knowledge. He's giving the method, not the symptoms of achieving it. 16th chapter. All the qualities of the divine nature. In the 12th chapter, Krishna lists all the qualities of devotees. And also in various places. Like in the 9th chapter, Satatam Kirtayantomam, Yatantascha Adradavrataha, Namasyantascha Mambhaktya, Nitya Yukta Upasate. That's a description of the Mahatma. The verse before was Mahatmanas Tuman Partha Daivin Prakriti Mashvatam. Those who are under the shelter of the reality of the divine nature, what do they do? And in the 10th chapter, Machchitam Madgata Pranam Bodhi Antasparasparam Kate Antaschaman Nicham Tushanti Charamanticha. How do the devotees behave? Then, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gives the symptoms of a successful person. He gives 9 symptoms of someone who's attained bhava. So we should study these symptoms. Just like if you want to buy a diamond, you study how to buy a diamond. If you want to find someone who's a successful, you know, tennis player, then you have to know what is success in tennis. So we should study these descriptions and then find such persons who have achieved success and then follow their example and follow their instructions. It's pretty simple. We have to know what is success. We have to know what are the symptoms of someone who's achieved success. Then I follow such persons. Now, Prabhupada refers back here to Bhagavad Gita 3.21, which is a very similar verse to this one. And there, Prabhupada, in the purport to the other verse, Prabhupada makes the point about one of the most important aspects of someone who's achieved success. That is, they are following the Shastra and they are teaching the Shastra. And this keeps us from becoming fooled. Because somebody may say, yes, I have become enlightened. And they may even be experiencing something of the Brahman. But if they're not following the Shastra, then they are not achieving full and stable success. The Shastra tells us what success is. And the Shastra gives us the descriptions of a successful person. And the Shastra also gives us the process for how to achieve success. So this means I know what is the goal. What does it look like? What does it feel like? A person who's achieved that goal, how do they behave? How do they feel? And how do they think? And then how do I get to that goal? So all of us want success in our activities. But we need to define success properly. Sometimes we think, oh, if I follow the great souls and I follow the scripture, then my material life will all be perfect. That may or may not happen. There is no guarantee that real success will also bring you success in illusion. Don't expect that things are going to be successful on an external platform. And don't judge spiritual success in that way. Just like Prabhupada tried to start this movement first in India and it didn't work. The cowherd boys went to beg food from the sacrificial Brahmins on Krishna's order.
učenjaci pastiri su išli moliti hranu, prositi hranu kod bramana koji su radili žrtvovanja na naredbu Krišne.
You think if God tells you to do something, then it must work out well.
Mi možemo misliti, ako nam Bog kaže da nešto činimo, onda to mora dobro ispasti.
And Krishna is personally telling them, go to these sacrificial brahmanas and ask for food. But the brahmins didn't even answer. They didn't even acknowledge that the cowherd boys existed. And the boys went back disappointed. They said, how can nectar become poison? How can your instructions fail? And Krishna says, oh, that's what happens when you beg. Sometimes people say no. Now go to their wives. So from an external point of view, they were a failure. But from the point of view of real success, they were a success. Because it brought them closer to Krishna. And it glorified the wives of the brahmanas. The fact that their husbands refused made them the more glorified. And by glorifying the Vaishnavas, Krishna becomes happy. And then one achieves everything one wants to achieve. Now, how do we know if we have this success? I'm going to give you a little idea about what we call the process. I was just reading where Prabhupada said that actually we are not in illusion. We're not fallen. We're not contaminated. We're simply imagining like that. We can never become contaminated. Just like if you have a light bulb. If you cover it with concrete. The light is still shining under the concrete. You just can't see it. And as soon as you remove the concrete, then again you can see the light. Coming to success is the matter of a moment's business. When we talk about the process, it is a process of increasing our desire. And that's how Krishna explains it in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He says, you do this sadhana bhakti, this abhyas yoga, in order to increase your icha or desire. When I no longer want to be under a concrete block, and then Krishna removes. Daivyesha gunamai mama maya dhirajaya mam eva ye prapajyante mayam etam tarantite. As soon as we actually desire genuine success, we will have it. This hope, the process we are in is just to awaken that desire. We could speak much more on this verse. This is a very deep topic. What is success? What are the symptoms of success? What is the process to achieve success? What is the relationship between Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra? In terms of who we follow? I'll say one thing on that. Prabhupada often quotes a verse from the Mahabharata, saying that through logic you never come to the ultimate conclusion. And the scriptures sometimes disagree with itself. And great sages are always trying to have a new opinion.
pokušavaju imati novo mišljenje.
Therefore you follow the path of the Mahajanas.
Stoga trebamo slijediti put Mahajana.
Svayambhu Narada Sambhu Komara Kapilomanu Prahlada Janaka Bhismo Balim Vyasakir Vayam. The way to understand the scriptures is through the great personalities. They will teach us how to follow the scriptures, how to understand them and how to apply them. And we understand who's a Mahajana by studying the scriptures. So there's a symbiotic relationship. And the final thing we should say is not only should we follow those who have become successful, but we should also become leaders. Prabhupada was asked in Australia, what will please you? You become guru and deliver everyone in the world. So we should also become successful. And we should lead others on the path to success. So if we are feeling that our lives are not achieving our goals, or if we've achieved our material goals and we're not fully satisfied with them, we might need to sit and reevaluate what really is success. Is it eyeballs and money? Or is it something that's spiritual? And what leaders am I following? Who are my heroes? Who are the people in whose lives and activities I'm absorbed? And if I have the right goal and the right leaders, how dedicated am I to following their instructions? So, questions, comments? Additions, subtractions? Chastisements? You're not going to translate that.
Yeah.
Yes?
Well, you said that we once had a real success. And you said also that when you had that success, you can't lose it. But in a way, we did lose it because we chose to come here.
Very good question. We have not lost it. Just like if you're sleeping. You haven't lost anything in your house. You're just dreaming. It's all still there. Hasn't gone away. I should have ended the class without question. No, it's okay. Go ahead.
So I want to know what should be our understanding of these things, because when some leaders fail, then you are like a little bit cautious about other leaders also. But if you said that for the good, you should have a 100% faith.
Rečeno je da kad neki lideri padnu, ti postaneš malo oprezan, a rečeno je također da u Guru trebaš imati 100% vjere.
I really don't know how to answer this in 2 minutes.
Ne znam kako to odgovoriti u 2 minute.
This is like a 3-hour discussion. I just don't know how to do it in a fast way. I could answer you, but not quickly.
Did you have any discussion like that before? Yeah,
We really need to follow the scriptures.
Mi stvarno želimo slijediti spise.
Prabhupada says blind following is condemned.
Prabhupada kaže da ne slijedi slijedeći se suđuje.
And one way he defines blind following is so many other people are following this person, I will also follow them. To some extent, we have institutionalized blind following in ISKCON. I don't want to say too much about that. But I would say really study the Shastra. And really study Prabhupada's instructions. And you'll see that the way some things are being taught is not correct. I don't know if I want to say more than that. There's a really nice article by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. That I could give you. But I see we've made some deviation. As far as how we explain this subject. And the results have not been very good. it's a problem. How to get back to the proper system? You know, when Prabhupada left this planet, we in ISKCON made some mistakes about how we established the spiritual leadership. And that those mistakes have not been completely fixed. So it's a delicate subject. Because it's still not right. We're still teaching people things that are against the Shastra. We're actually encouraging blind following. One place you can read more about this is in a paper the Shastric Advisory Council wrote for the GBC. Where you can see what is the system that is in Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra and compare to what is sometimes being taught. Another thing we can say is that just because somebody trips over a rock on the path doesn't mean they're not on the path.
Još jedna stvar koju bih htjela reći da to što se neko spotaknuo na kamen, na putu, to ne znači da je dobišao se put.
And that warning is there from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita.
I to upozorenje se na svi Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, da.
Apichet sucharacharo. To be careful, not to criticize.
I treba biti jako pažljiv da ne kritiziramo.
Even very great personalities like Brahma sometimes have difficulty. Or Bilvamangala Thakur. There's so many examples. So one should also be careful that we accurately define the symptoms of success. So I see this is also a problem. And it's a very common problem of a beginner. We say Hari Tvena Samasta Shastir, but it's not exactly that the liberated soul is God. we often have a very sentimental idea about what is a successful spiritual person. It's not based on Shastra, it's based on our sentiment. So Shastra gives us guidance who is actually an advanced person. And how do you test? How do you find? So therefore we should read the books. I'll tell you a very simple story, which might help you. So I was in the movement maybe 2 or 3 years. And I assumed that anybody who had some title or position must be very spiritually advanced. And we were in a temple where the leaders did not emphasize studying the Shastra. They said, just work, work, work. And you don't have to think of Krishna while you work. Just work, work, work. And the Shastra classes were a little strange. Because nobody was reading the books. And at one point, the leader did something very seriously wrong. And my faith was very devastated. I thought, what is this Krishna consciousness? Maybe I should go away. I was still chanting my 16 rounds and following everything. But my faith was really hurt. And I was thinking, maybe I should go live with my sister. I thought, no, she eats meat. And then my husband said a couple of things to me. He said, so many of Prabhupada's godbrothers were nonsense, but still Prabhupada is bona fide. He said, in a university, so many people are going to parties, but still there are some serious students. And then I separated in my mind Krishna consciousness from necessarily people who have some position. And I've never gone back. Anyway, then I started reading the books again. I opened up Bhagavad Gita. I started at the introduction. I got to page 10. I said, oh, that's why I'm here. And everything became very clear. So that's the heart of my suggestion. Really know the Shastra. Really know Prabhupada's instructions. Really know the examples of the past acharyas. And there will always be some... In this world, there will always be some deviations in behavior or in philosophy. You cannot stop that. But I see that in our ISKCON, there are many, many people who know what is the truth. And I see also we have many genuinely advanced devotees. Some of them have titles and positions. And some of them don't. Some of the most spiritually successful people that I've met are very little devotees. Nobody knows about them. Some of them are renunciates, some of them are householders. Some are Indian, some are not Indian. Some are men, some are women. And they exist. There are actually quite a few of them. But also don't have faith in guru exactly like in some sentimental way. Understand how to have faith in guru. What does absolute faith in guru mean? For that again you have to study the shastra. So I could give you my understanding, but that would take a very long time. And we'd have to have another class. It's a very heavy subject. But I think a very important one. Is that okay, at least for now? You feel a little pacified. Door is a little open. Okay, good. I can't in 5 or 10 minutes really do justice to this subject. But I can suggest things that you can read. This is a topic on which I have been involved with groups that did a lot of research for the GBC. So I've been studying it in depth for maybe 6 years. Yes, ma'am.
Can you say that many things can be clarified if we emphasize also the qualities? We often emphasize the qualities of the guru, but when we study the qualities of this bona fide disciple, which I described in Hari Bhakti Rasa, many things have become much more clear. Because we say we shouldn't approach the guru in a sentimental way, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that. But if you analyze these qualities of one of a disciple, immediately all this we shouldn't are included in that. Because we have natural attraction as a soul to something which is spiritual, but this is not enough to qualify to become disciple. It's a very exalted position, and sometimes we are taking for granted that we become disciple, even initiate the disciple. But when we analyze these qualities, then we find out, I mean, it takes all life to develop these qualities. But if you really endeavor in that process, then I think actually I'm convinced that all things are very easily clarified.
We can say he's saying one also has to be a good disciple. And one should follow the guidance of scriptures like Hari Bhakti Vilas to see what is a good disciple.
Bhagavatam and Krishna explains to Uddhava what does mean to be disciple, then Maitreya explained to Vidura what does mean to. I mean, there's many, many places where.
Therefore, study the Shastra. I'm very happy to hear this. Prabhupada said that Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati accepts the Hari Bhakti Vilas as the authoritative scripture for all of the ritualistic processes of the Vaishnavas.
My experience is that
I really appreciate that you made that comment. It's wonderful to hear things like this from one of our leaders. And I feel very happy that the devotees here are under the leadership of somebody who has this sort of realization. You've touched on the essential things. We have to.
I'm trying to be disciple.
Me too. Me too.
Then maybe it can help someone in sense of leadership.
Okay. Good. It's at least a start.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.